Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, it is the 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's Midnight Ride and the beginning of America's semi-quincentennial celebration. We'll speak with the executive director of America 250 Ohio. Also this morning, happening around town, what better way to celebrate 419 Day tomorrow than to shop till you drop with the second annual Downtown Findlay Boutique Crawl. And we have a holiday collection of recipes for your Easter breakfast or brunch from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, April 18th, 2025. You know what this is as well? It's Easter weekend, Passover ends this weekend for those of the Jewish faith. You know what the other big event today is? Not only is it Good Friday, it is the 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's Midnight Ride. And this weekend, the beginning of the American Revolution, the battles of Lexington and Concord, and it was the first shots in what would become America's independence, the 250th birthday celebration, the semi-quincentennial, begins this weekend. So one thing that you might want to do today is practice how to say semi-quincentennial, because we're going to be saying it a lot over the course of the next year and a half. One of the other big things that is happening today, and this weekend, the Lyrid meteor shower is underway. The annual celestial display started on Wednesday night will continue through April 25th. So through next week, the meteors are flying trails of debris left behind by a comet. And that meteor shower, it says here, the meteors are flying trails of debris left behind by a comet, and that shower the Earth each year the third week of April. So, and here we are, third week of April coming up. NASA says the Lyrid meteor shower is expected to peak on April 21st and 22nd. So, which are those dates? That is Monday and Tuesday. So Monday and Tuesday, the biggest days for that, astronomers say no special equipment is required to observe the meteor shower. All you need is clear weather, a dark sky, and about 30 minutes for your eyes to adjust to the dark. You should be able to see them. So something to keep in mind there. Big news yesterday. Did you hear about this? You're a college football fan. Longtime broadcaster Lee Corso retiring from College Game Day on ESPN. He's been with that show from the start back in 1987. He turns 90 this summer and, of course, suffered a stroke a number of years ago. And since then has taken on a more limited role, but his headgear picks at the end of the program are legendary. In a statement released by ESPN, Corso said he and his family are forever indebted for the chance to be a part of the long-running show that is a highlight for many football fans on Saturday mornings. It just will not be the same without Lee Corso. Apparently, he's going to come back. He's going to do week number one of the new season and then hang up the headgear. That'll be it. His very first headgear pick was Ohio State back in the day. And there is a possibility that maybe his last headgear pick could be Ohio State, because Ohio State plays Texas in week number one. Huge game on the college football schedule. And you got to think maybe game day will be there. So we'll see how it all works out. But it is... honestly, if you've watched Game Day the past few years, you know that time was coming, but it just will not be the same without Lee Corso and his headgear pick. Not so fast, my friend. Catchphrase. This is maybe the biggest story from the world of science and technology. I saw this on the Newswire and I thought there are going to be some people in our area, perhaps, that are very interested in this. Scientists in Japan are one step closer to creating a farming robot. A farming robot that can travel between rows of crops. They have a couple of navigation modes. One, you can set it to reach a predefined spot, and another that just has it going up and down the rows, analyzing the crop beds. Robots could work better in smaller, tricky spaces than previous robotic designs. And they say the advancement could help farmers who face labor shortages in many countries. Declining interest in farm work has made labor harder to come by. And of course, in this country, a lot of migrant farm labor is getting harder to come by with the crackdown on illegal immigration. And that has concerned some farmers, especially out west, who hire day workers and so on in the fields. And so this could be the answer to that. Farming robots. Crazy, isn't it? Speaking of science, I saw this is pretty big news as well. Weight loss medications. They've been all the rage for the past couple of years, but there has been one deterrent to these miracle drugs that people have been taking for weight loss, and that is the needle. These are all injections, things like Ozempic and Wegovy, Mounjaro, and so on. They're injectables, and the needle will turn people off. So for those who are looking for a weight loss solution on the order of Ozempic or Mounjaro, but don't want the jab, Eli Lilly has now developed a weight loss pill. According to recent trials, Orforglipron, could be just as effective as these other medications at lowering blood sugar and aiding weight loss in people with type 2 diabetes. Trial participants who received the highest dose lost up to 16 pounds in 40 weeks. Eli Lilly currently seeking FDA approval for the drug, which could be available later this year or early in 2026, could hit the market. So that's big news in the weight loss category, which is, as we know, a multi-billion dollar a year business in this country, constantly fighting the battle of the bulge. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day as we come up on the weekend. I don't know if this is a big party weekend or not, given that it's Easter weekend, but as we come up on the weekend, this seems to be an appropriate story to talk about, and an interesting one. One of those things that make you go, makes you wonder what's changed here over the past many years, or the past generation. Young women today, between the ages of 18 to 25, in the United States, are now binge drinking more than their male counterparts. Women are the big binge drinkers now. This is a reversal of prior trends. According to new research, by the way, binge drinking defined as five or more drinks in rapid succession for a man, or four or more in one sitting for a woman. Heavy drinking refers to men having 15 or more drinks per week and women having eight or more drinks per week. This is according to the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. So that's how they define binge drinking or heavy drinking. And according to new data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, researchers found that women between the ages of 18 to 25, which, again, that would include some underage young women, but 18 to 25, report higher rates of binge drinking than men in the same age group over the past couple of years. That is a reversal of patterns seen just less than 10 years ago. While men in older age groups still drink more heavily overall, this shift among young adult women is raising alarms in the medical community. Now, it's interesting to point out that the study only looked at two snapshots in time, one from the modern day and one from a few years ago back in 2017. So they looked at two snapshots in time. They did not follow the same people over the course of a longer period of time. So they really can't tell whether these results are due to faster declines in drinking among young men or increasing rates among women, or maybe a little bit of both. But they say the overall picture is clear, and the message is the gender gap in risky alcohol use is narrowing, and in the case of young women, is actually flipping. Kind of interesting there. For young women, maybe something to have a look in the mirror. And for parents, something to keep in mind with respect to your daughters when they get to those teen years. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly cloudy and windy today with a high around 80. Showers and storms possible tonight, a low around 60. Included in the state of Ohio proposed budget are changes to Ohio's records laws and related public access.
There are significant changes to Ohio's public records law bundled in with the budget. The changes could prevent people from getting access to detailed police reports and files in criminal cases. The changes could also slow or stop work to help people who have been wrongfully convicted.
I do a lot of international work, and you know, you see stuff like this in like third world countries where they don't have transparency laws, they don't have sunshine laws.
WTOL 11's Kaylee Marentette with Mark Godsey from the Ohio Innocence Project. Get more in this story on our website. Hancock County Adamus, the Board of Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health Services is receiving some state funding to help local individuals in recovery obtain access to safe and stable housing. The Ohio Department of Development, which administers the program, provided Hancock County Adamus with more than $25,000 in funding to provide rental and utility assistance for individuals in early recovery. Officials say recovery doesn't happen overnight and no one should have to take that journey alone, and the grants will ensure more Ohioans have the opportunity to reclaim their independence, rebuild their lives, and write a new chapter filled with hope and opportunity. Get more details on how Hancock County Adamus will utilize the funding in the story on our website. The city of Findlay is offering a bulk trash and tire drop-off for residents from Saturday, April 19th to Saturday, April 26th. Dumpsters will be placed at the Public Works Department at 330 North Corey Street, where city residents will be able to dispose of unwanted debris. The drop-off will be held in conjunction with Earth Day on Tuesday, April 22nd, and the Backyard Mission Trip on Saturday, April 26th. Proof of residency or ID may be required. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So next year, America is going to celebrate its semiquincentennial, which is a fancy way of saying it is our nation's 250th birthday. And the more than year-long observance actually begins today with the 250th anniversary of Paul Revere's Midnight Ride, warning the colonists that the British are coming. The Hancock County Courthouse going to be lit up this evening as part of the nationwide Two Lights for Tomorrow initiative. And joining us this morning is the executive director of America 250 Ohio, Todd Kleismet. Todd, this is a group, America 250 Ohio, commissioned by the state legislature to coordinate the celebration of the semiquincentennial. Tell us a little bit about your mission.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. Thank you for spending some time with me. Yeah, we're really excited about this once-in-a-generation opportunity. We are, as you say, kicking off the Ohio's participation in the nation's 250th next year. And so Two Lights for Tomorrow event does commemorate that midnight ride. We also have a, sort of an Ohio spin on that, too. There, Paul Revere was not the only rider that night. Here in Columbus at the State House, we'll be having an event tonight featuring an undertold story about a gentleman named William Dawes, who was one of the other riders, and the Dawes family ended up settling in Ohio.
Very cool.
Kind of a cool take on that.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow is the anniversary of the beginning of Lexington and Concord. And so all of this is timed to help kick off the nation's semi-quincentennial and this amazing opportunity we have to all kind of come together and reflect on our place in American history.
Now, I am old enough to remember the bicentennial in 1976, and the 200th birthday celebration was everywhere in the lead up to July 4th. The goal is to kind of create the same type of nationwide celebration. How are you doing that?
Yeah, excellent. And I am also old enough to remember the nation's bicentennial, so I'm like you, Chris, you know, in our youth. So we are working with, you know, we have a 29-member commission. We have lots of people also other making contributions to this effort. So we've got this statewide network. All 88 counties, Chris, have passed resolutions to participate in the nation's 250th. So it's not all going to be driven by our state commission. There is a national commission, there's our state commission, and we are localizing this to the fullest extent possible by encouraging communities and organizations all over the state to participate in it. And it's not about one or two or three big things. We're not all just looking to July 4th, 2026, although that is our biggest moment for sure.
Right.
So we're coming at this in a lot of different ways, Chris. And one thing we're doing in 2026 is we're going to have a big emphasis each month of the calendar year. And so you can, anybody interested can find out more on our website, America250Ohio.org. But yeah, there will be events, activities. Sometimes it'll be something national, like Two Lights for Tomorrow is a national effort. A lot of things will be driven showcasing Ohio's contribution to the nation, and then some things will be happening locally. So it's an all hands on deck kind of a effort.
Yeah. To that end, you have just awarded another round of grants for a number of community events throughout the state, including here in Northwest Ohio. I know there are things happening in Lima and Defiance and Deschler and Kaleida, Upper Sandusky. There are a number in the Toledo area, and even the University of Findlay. There's an upcoming Fun Day Sunday event tied into the semi-quincentennial as well that you are helping to present. So a lot of things in, as you were saying, communities all across the state.
That's right. Yeah, we're excited about that. You know, we, as I mentioned, we had all 88 counties have passed resolutions to participate. And so we are hoping to give at least some of those communities some resources so they can make some plans locally and commemorate things of significance in their own communities. And so we're excited about that. We just announced those grants just this week. So we've got 57 grants awarded this week, a little more than $278,000 across the state. So we're really excited about it.
And in addition to those local events and communities around Ohio that you were promoting and helping to make happen, are there also plans for, you know, like the larger statewide events or celebrations that tie into this as well?
There sure are. You know, we do have our touch points to the American Revolutionary War era, and so we'll be leaning into some of those opportunities. Let me give you one example. We have surprisingly, more than 7,000 American Revolutionary War veterans are buried in the state of Ohio. And so we're able to build on the work that's already been done by the Daughters of the American Revolution, the Sons of the American Revolution, and others. And so we want to better help tell the stories of those veterans that are that ended up in Ohio for various reasons. And so we have a team working to fill in some of the gaps information-wise. A lot of times we just aren't sure where those veterans are buried. And so in 2026, we are planning to unveil a searchable digital map that will help connect those stories and better tell those stories of those veterans. So that's a really cool project that is in the works now. So we do have those touch points. A lot of times our communities are named for Revolutionary War veterans. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different things. Also, projects around the state that tie into this are things like the Northwest Ordinance. We want to remind Ohioans and Americans of the significance mm-hmm. of things like the Northwest Ordinance, which was a little bit after 1776, but still the same founding generation.
Yeah.
An important founding document that a lot of people have simply forgotten about. Well, but we also have this bigger opportunity, in addition to those things, Chris, is to tout what Ohio and Ohioans have contributed to the nation. And one of the big things we have contributed as Ohioans are things to American film and documentaries, Hollywood. So, you know, Hollywood was named by an Ohioan who moved out there, bought some land, and lo and behold, it was Hollywood.
Wow.
So, but, you know, we have so many actors, so many places, mm-hmm. films that talked about Ohio. Maybe Ohio was the setting. Maybe it was partially filmed in Ohio.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to talk about. So that's going to be a big undertaking for us, too. We're going to kick that off early next year at the Thomas Edison birthplace in Milan, Ohio, in Northwest Ohio. And so he was born along future U.S. Route 250, conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
And so his inventions helped lead to American filmmaking equipment. So there's a lot there, a lot of stories to be told about Ohio's contributions. And it's, you can find out more at ohiogoestothemovies.org. That's pretty exciting.
Terrific stuff. So really, at the end of the day, this is just an incredible opportunity to revisit, or for some folks, maybe visit for the first time, all the incredible contributions of Ohio to make the country what it is today, all the way dating back to, you know, the earliest days of the Revolutionary era. And again, Todd Kleissmidt is Executive Director of America 250 Ohio, the celebration of America's 250th birthday actually begins today, culminates on Independence Day of 2026. And you mentioned the website where folks can learn more about everything that is going on in connection with the semi-quincentennial.
That's right, America250-Ohio.org. So check it out when you get a chance.
Todd, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chris. Great to be with you.
So happening around town this weekend, we don't want to forget about this. Wedged in between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, it is 419 Day tomorrow. And what better way to celebrate than by shopping till you drop? It is the second annual Downtown Findlay Boutique Crawl. Holly Craycraft from Hand and Home Company is with us this morning downtown, one of the organizers of the event. Holly, thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
So this is going to be an awful lot of fun. Tell us all about what is happening for 419 Day downtown.
Yeah, we are really excited to celebrate another 419 Day downtown. So there are 10 total boutiques that are throwing a boutique crawl.
Okay.
Each one will be offering different specials and attractions. It's a ticketed event, so tickets are $25.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a bunch of special perks planned for the ticket holders.
So that is really the bonus. I mean, you can certainly shop at any or all of the boutiques, whether or not you have a ticket, but the ticket gets you all of the extras.
Yes.
So I was going to say, so let's kind of run through some of the extras to make sure that people understand why you really do need a ticket for this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so with that ticket, you're going to get a free Dora drink from a participating bar or coffee shop.
Okay.
Access to those exclusive specials and promos at the shops. We'll also have out hors d'oeuvres and refreshments. The Findlay Pedal Company will be giving free rides to ticket holders. So they'll be going all around downtown. You can hop on, have a drink, sing some karaoke.
Very cool.
Yeah. There'll also be card readings at the Lavender Hour.
Okay.
You'll be able to check out some live music at Alida Candle Company.
Okay.
We've got Axe Ventura opening up their doors to ticket holders to come in and try a few axe throws.
That's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. And then there's also a bunch of like door prizes. We're giving away $500 worth of like gift certificates to downtown.
Okay.
And then there'll also be one like grand prize winner who's going to get $250.
Pretty good deal there. You also have, yeah. Also understand that there will be some pop-up vendors downtown as well.
Yep, there's a couple. So we'll have Finley Floristry set up in my shop. She's going to be bringing fresh bouquets. And then there's also Otis and Wayne, which is a jewelry. A handmade jewelry shop that'll be set up in Sparrows to Lilies.
Very, very cool. So again, everyone is certainly welcome to come downtown anytime and shop. We are so blessed. And this just showcases all of the really unique shops and boutiques that we have downtown.
Yeah. And the idea is just to come out, support those local businesses, hop around to different shops, have a good time and enjoy what downtown has to offer.
So for those who don't have tickets yet, and I know the tickets have been on sale for a long time, we've already sold several hundred of them, at least a couple hundred of them, I know. But there are still some that are available if folks want to get in on all of those goodies. How do folks get their hands on those tickets?
Yeah, so you can get a ticket online up until the event. The website for that is through Eventbrite. So it's 419dayboutiquecrawl.eventbrite.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also be selling tickets at the door. So if you just show up to the check-in spot, which will be at the Hancock Hotel, from 11 to 1.
All right.
You can grab the ticket then.
All right. Very good. So the second annual 419-day boutique crawl in downtown Findlay is happening tomorrow on April the 19th. And there is also a Facebook page with all of the details. And you said there were, about a dozen boutiques, downtown shops and boutiques that are participating, right?
10
of them. Okay. So you should be able to certainly, like we said, shop till you drop. And what is the official hours for the boutique crawl?
Yeah. So the event will be going on from 11 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then we hope that you'll stick around downtown, go out to eat, have a few more drinks, and just really celebrate all the 419 things.
Absolutely. Again, Holly Craycraft from Hand and Home Company with us this morning. Again, details on the second annual Downtown Findlay Boutique Crawl can be found on our webpage. You can go to goodmornings.net for more information. And Holly, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Apparently, the notorious Kool-Aid Man challenge is back. I don't know if you remember this. It was a couple of years ago. This was the big online challenge. And this time, apparently in Staten Island, this has taken hold. The Kool-Aid Man challenge, when people, usually young people, because older people are smart enough not to do this, when people smash through people's fences like the Kool-Aid Man mascot did in those commercials back in the 70s and 80s. You remember those commercials, the Kool-Aid Man smashing through people's fences? Well, police say that it has happened at least three times in Staten Island recently, including at homes in the Eltingville and Prince Bay sections of town. Police say taking part in the challenge is destructive and dangerous and could lead to arrests. Thinking it could also lead to hospitalizations. That's smashing through people's fences. That ain't too bright. Apparently, in 2023, this was an issue. Long Island was particularly hard hit in the New York City area as well, triggered by the same social media trend. So, Kool-Aid Man challenge. All right. In case you've heard of this. Elsewhere in the broken news, the odd and unusual side of the headlines, in New Orleans, this story gave me a chuckle. New Orleans police are looking for a suspect in a werewolf mask who allegedly broke into a local store. The masked suspect was caught on camera and appears to be a young man named Kedrick Damon Jones Jr. Early... That's what I thought was funny about the story. He's in a mask, a werewolf mask, and yet they know who he is. So apparently the police in New Orleans have some experience with this gentleman. I mean, can you imagine the cops all looking around at the security video? They see a guy in a werewolf mask and they say, oh yeah, that's Kedrick. We know him. It's got to be Kedrick. Early Tuesday morning, Mr. Jones allegedly smashed cash registers with a crowbar and made off in the dead of the night under the light of the moon, hence the werewolf mask, I guess. He also took merchandise, which he carried away in black plastic bags, before fleeing towards Stemway Drive and then unknown. According to a Facebook post from the police department, the suspect has yet to be apprehended. They see him in a werewolf mask and they know immediately, oh yeah, we know who that guy is. Hey, somebody needs to tell him it's not Halloween, it's Easter. You need to get a bunny mask for him or something. This is a really sad story. Again, normally in the broken news, we don't include stories where people lose their lives. It's not really funny. This is just tragic and just jaw-dropping. I mean, this was a story that left me shaking my head. One person is dead after a shooting in Richland County, South Carolina. Paul Williams faces several charges, including homicide. Deputies say he... this was at somebody's home. He fled the house with a gun in his hand. They caught him with the murder weapon. The victim was found in the backyard of the home with a gunshot wound in his upper body. He later died. What leaves me shaking my head about this story is that the whole incident escalated from an argument over a lottery ticket. Which apparently the Mr. Williams say the victim of this shooting stole from him. So that certainly justifies homicide. You know, just leaves you shaking your head. Over a lottery ticket. Come on, man. Really? Is it really worth going to jail for life over a lottery ticket? Come on. And a couple of more pleasant stories here. This is always nice to finish the week in the broken news with a couple of stories that'll make you smile. This one from Chelsea, Michigan. You might have heard about this story. You know the old saying, the best way to eat an elephant, one bit at a time. You know, one bite at a time. As it turns out, a similar philosophy helps in moving a bookstore. A group of about 300 people got together to transport over 9,000 books from Serendipity Books in Chelsea, Michigan, to their new location. They had a store that they had to vacate for one reason or another, so they were moving to a new location, but the owner said that she was overwhelmed by the volume of the inventory of the store that she had to move in just a couple of days, 9,000 books. So Word got out in the community and volunteers came out in droves. So many volunteers that they actually formed two lines on the sidewalk around the corner, because the move was not a long, it was just kind of around the corner. So they had two lines of volunteers on the sidewalk from the old location to the new location, with each person passing each individual book to the person standing next to them until the job was complete. Only ended up taking them a couple hours. Must have been quite a sight, right? Shop owner Michelle Tuplin says it was a practical way to move the books, but it was also a way for everyone to have a part. And as people were passing the books along, you kept hearing them say, "Oh, I've read this. Oh, I haven't read this one." And somebody else would say, "Oh, that's a good one. That's a..." So a little publicity for the bookstore as well. That is awesome. And finally, in the broken news this morning, the story of a 12-year-old Elvis impersonator from Great Britain who has been invited to offer his take on the King of Rock and Roll at Graceland in Memphis. He's a 12-year-old Elvis impersonator from Great Britain. Cooper Worthington will perform at Graceland on the 48th anniversary of Elvis Presley's passing. His mom, Kelly, said, "Cooper wanted to go to Memphis for years, and I've been saving up and working as hard as I can to make that happen. And now he'll get to live out his dream. The young Elvis already has a lineup of iconic costumes to choose from, including the pink Cadillac outfit and the Jailhouse Rock outfit." His mom says he knows all of the lyrics to Elvis's songs now and has perfected the dance moves as well. He has even found an old American hair gel that Elvis used to use. He's prepping for his performance at Graceland on the 48th anniversary of Elvis's passing. That is all kinds of awesome. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
You can stream the game on your phone while you're gardening. You can stream it while you walk the dog. You can stream it at a trampoline park. You can even stream it at a monster truck rally. But the second you get behind the wheel, the game's over. Remember, Ohio, phones down. It's the law.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Do you speak differently in the workplace than you do in everyday conversation? This is an interesting new survey of 1,800 working women. They find that 82% do change the way they speak while at work. Women especially do this. 82%. It is a phenomenon that linguists call code switch. As a most notably, women report using more casual language in their personal lives than they do in the office. In the office, 56% say they deliberately use less slang. 53% admit that they curb their potty mouth at work. They use less profanity in the office, which is probably a good thing for all of us, but interesting. And the adjustments actually extend beyond just vocabulary. It's not what they say as much as it is, you know, the way they talk. 55% of women say they are less likely to be sarcastic in the office. 48% of women say they use more humor outside of work. They're funnier outside of the office. 39% laugh more freely in their personal lives than they do when they are on the clock. Let's see here. Over one third say they use more hedging phrases such as sort of or kind of when not at work. They don't want to seem wishy-washy. The primary motivation for these changes, they want to appear more professional. 76% say it's necessary to appear more professional. 37% say they want to come across as more competent. If they change their language, they feel they appear more competent. 35% project confidence by changing up the way they speak in the office. And 22% admit they do it just to fit in. More concerning motivations also emerged from this survey. 20% will code switch to mask their emotions. 15% do it out of fear of judgment from others. And 13% out of fear of stereotyping. And again, women at work always have to be cognizant of this. The research also found that 1 in 6 women have been explicitly told to change their communication style at work, while nearly 2/3 feel pressured to use a quote-unquote work voice. I wonder if men would say the same thing if they were given these same survey questions. I would be interested to know. Women will code switch the most when they work in the industries of hospitality and tourism, food services, professional services, and retail. Conversely, women who work in construction are the most likely to not code switch, most likely to just speak in their regular voice, women who work in construction, and those who work in the nonprofit sector are also less likely to feel they need to use a work voice. And once again, it is traditional to finish up the week with another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. My wife Kyra has joined us in the studio this morning with a collection, a special holiday collection of recipes that are specifically for like your Easter breakfast or brunch. Yeah. So,
yep.
Which I think this is a great idea because, you know, most of us will have our Easter dinner taken care of by this time, especially. I mean, you know, it is what it is, as they say. But you can get a little creative with an Easter breakfast or an Easter brunch. So here we go.
A few different things.
Yeah. Some and easy stuff. I mean, if you're making you're making an Easter dinner, then you certainly don't want to go super elaborate for an Easter brunch or breakfast. Yeah.
Or if you're doing brunch and you don't really have to worry about a dinner, you can just
That's true as well.
This is if you're going to do something like this. Up to you. Really easy. And this first one you can make the night before.
Yes. It is a carrot cake baked oatmeal.
Yes. So this is a half a cup of vegetable oil, a half a cup of brown sugar, half a cup of white granulated sugar, 4 large eggs, 2 cups of milk, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 4 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, 7 cups of quick oats, 1/2 cup of walnuts chopped, and that's optional, and 2.5 cups of carrots shredded. So mix the first 10 ingredients in a large bowl, then fold the oats, carrots, and walnuts into the liquid mixture. Pour the mixture into a greased 9x10 casserole dish. Cover and put in the refrigerator for at least 2 hours or overnight.
Or overnight, as you were mentioning, you can do this the day before.
Right,
so.
Preheat your oven to 350 degrees, uncover, and bake for about 40 to 50 minutes. Serve with maple syrup and tastes and it just enjoy.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. It tastes. I actually made this for. We had our Palm Sunday breakfast at church.
Yeah.
And I made this last week for that, and I got quite a few compliments on it. So it was really
there
good.
You go.
Yes.
So everybody at church were like the guinea pigs. Carrot cake based.
I like making people guinea pigs.
Oatmeal. Carrot cake baked oatmeal. It's hard to say early in the morning. Also have a recipe for blueberry cobbler muffins.
Yes, and this was another guinea pig that we did. I did this one a couple weeks ago, and my son Grady just loved this. So this is 1 3/4 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3/4 cups of granulated sugar, 1/4 cup of butter melted and cooled, 2 large eggs at room temperature, 1/2 cup of buttermilk, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract, 1 cup of blueberries, and for the streusel topping, you have 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar, and 1/2 cup of butter melted. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Line 12 muffin pans with cupcake liners or spray with nonstick cooking spray. In a large bowl, add the flour, salt, and baking powder. Set aside. Then in a large mixing bowl, beat or whisk together your eggs, your melted butter, your sugar, your vanilla extract, and your buttermilk. Add the dry ingredients to the egg milk mixture. Stir that gently just until combined. Don't overmix this. Then fold in your blueberries. Divide between the 12 muffins, filling each cavity about 3/4 of the way full. Sprinkle a few of the blueberries over the top of the muffin. Prepare the streusel by combining flour, sugar, and your cold butter in a small bowl. Use a fork or a pastry blender to cut in the butter until the mixture forms and crumbles. Sprinkle streusel over the top of the muffins. Bake at 350 for about 20 minutes or until a toothpick inserted in the center of the muffin comes out clean.
There you go.
So, and yes, they're really good.
Really good.
My son Grady, he really liked them.
There you go.
So
it's Grady approved.
Yes.
Blueberry cobbler muffins. You could probably use other fruits as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah. Blueberries, yes. But you could use, you know, whatever.
That's fruit what I
if
had.
You want to switch it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's what I had on hand.
And do something maybe a little different. I mean, blueberry muffins are kind of the standard go-to.
Yeah.
So maybe if you want to mix that up with something else,
yes,
you can try that. And then we have a recipe for hot honey ham biscuit sliders.
Yes. So this is 2 16-ounce tubs of refrigerated jumbo flaky biscuits, 1 pound of sliced deli ham, 16 slices of cheddar cheese, 1/2 cup of Dijon mustard, 2 tablespoons of butter melted, and 4 tablespoons of hot honey. So preheat your oven to 375 degrees. Lightly spray a sheet pan with cooking spray. Separate each biscuit into 2 and place 1/2 on your cooking sheet. Top each one with some Dijon mustard, some ham, and some cheese. Then put your top of your biscuit on top of the slice of cheese. Brush each biscuit with your melted butter. Bake 12 to 15 minutes until golden brown. Heat your honey in the microwave for about 20 seconds. And once those come out of the oven, and they're still nice and warm, top it with that warm honey and then serve immediately.
Yeah, those are, this is a favorite in our house.
Yes.
We've had these a number of times.
Yes,
the
really
hot honey ham biscuit sliders.
Yes.
They are delicious.
Yes.
So, great for an Easter brunch or really any time.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is something you could have for a football game if you wanted to.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, we've got Memorial Day coming up.
Yep.
4th of July is going to be right around the corner here. Before you know it, is going to be here. And so that's a recipe to save for especially any gathering.
Yeah.
Because it is really a crowd favorite. So the recipe is for the carrot cake baked oatmeal and the blueberry cobbler muffins and the hot honey ham biscuit sliders are all posted on the Facebook page.
Yep.
can go to at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook for those recipes and all the others that we feature on the program. You can follow Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page for all of those and other stuff. Share your favorites. If there's one that you would like to share, you think is a good one that people seem to like, we would love to hear about it. So you can share it there on the Facebook page. You can also email us directly, goodmornings@wfin.com. goodmornings@wfin.com. We'll get those recipes in. You can do it that way as well. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Everybody have a good Easter.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Once again, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net, where you can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Again, goodmornings.net is our little corner of the World Wide Web. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out, make it a good day, a great weekend, have a happy Easter, and we'll catch you back here next week.